The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Breaking news.
Pink Blank is making a comeback.
Oh my god, is that Suya?
Do you like K-pop?
Yes.
What do you
mean
yes?
My bias group just disbanded?
Bop or flop? Boys that sing, newest.
Did you hear
comeback
about Worldwide?
Is this over for their careers?
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Are you ready,
ready
to be
canceled?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to canceled. Today, on this podcast, I'll be doing an ASMR kind of style. So if you don't like that, please click away immediately. I'm so sorry. Okay. Yes, welcome back to Canceled. This is the podcast where I'll be spilling tea about the latest K-pop news and my crappy takes on the ever-growing industry. My name is Kevin, and I'll be the main host of the show. For updates, go check me out on Instagram at underscore Kevstea. That is spelled K-E-V-S-T-E-A. I'll be posting about the podcast and other things that I'm working on. Okay, please check me out. Okay, so you may be wondering, what are you doing, Kevin? Why are you doing an ASMR podcast? Well, I'm not sick or anything, but it's more like the reading. Okay, we just had reading week, right? And it was just absolutely hectic. I did not get any work done, but like I was so tired from school, and like I think the burnout is really getting to me, and I think, you know, there's no better way than to start off the week to start off school again doing some ASMR, because I need some peace and quiet right now. Okay, so yes, I'm alone again today. That means we're gonna do some more rambling, and I'm gonna follow up on some stuff that I talked about last time on my solo podcast for this one. But first, you know, as I was saying, like, yeah, so this is my solo podcast. You know, I have reading week, and, you know, I think that, like I said, it was pretty unproductive for the most part. I mean, I tried to get work done, but it was not coming to me, but so I need to be productive now. But anyways, so I want to talk about, like, what my experience with solo podcasting is so far. So I've been doing a solo podcast now for, I only did one episode of the solo podcast, and now this is my second one, and I actually really enjoy it because I think it helps me practice my, like, content creator voice, or, like, you know, just getting comfortable talking to a camera, and also just being, I guess, unfiltered in a way on air. And, like, you know, I think that will help, you know, me being more comfortable and just me being an overall better content creator in the future. So, yeah, I don't want to whisper, but I feel like I'm losing my voice right now. I hope this is all audible later. Otherwise, I'm going to be really upset that this is not going to work. Okay. But anyway, so I think last time I was on the podcast as a solo, I think I mentioned I am joining a K-pop club within my school, and I don't know how much I updated you guys on that, but I made it in the club, and I started making graphics for the club, and it's been really fun so far, talking with other people who are also, like, K-pop related, and I just needed that community at school. And also, the graphics that I created, one of them was for a dance workshop, so I'm gonna be going to a dance workshop next weekend. Oh hell yeah. It's gonna be for, of course, my bias G idol for the song Life. I cook cream soup, this is Coco Roco. And also, Plot Twist by TWS. I'm going to talk about TWS later in this podcast, and, like, I'm just going to keep saying TWS, even though I know it's, like, there's a specific pronunciation for it, like, TWS or something, or, like, I know the entire phrase is, like, 24/7 with us, but I'm just going to say TWS to spare my spare time, and also my pronunciation. Okay. Also, yeah, so going on with this podcast, I'm going to be talking about a few things. So last time I talked about G Idol's 2 album, and I just wanted to follow up on that because I think, like, my review was, like, quite short, so I didn't get out what I fully wanted to say in that podcast. So I'll say now that since that podcast came out, they released a music video for Revenge, and I was not expecting that, but, like, the music video was really good. I also talked about Marry My husband last episode, and the finale that came out, and I just wanted to add my thoughts on that, because like I really liked the drama at first, but then after Yura's character introduction, I think the show really went downhill from there, because the whole premise of the story was seeing how Zuman was going to get revenge on Jiwon, and Jiwon making sure that Zuman doesn't get that sweet that victory that Zuman craves so badly. Also, I have in my notes here, Na In-woo is so adorable, the guy who plays Jiwon. Like, I have such a bias toward Cube. Like, he's a Cube actor. Like, what's wrong with me? So, for this, the rest of the podcast now, I'm going to be doing, like, this makeup review. There was a lot of K-pop comebacks this week. And, like, the previous weeks, we have, like, LeSserafim. We have DWS. We had Twice. And we also had the group that we revealed last week, Blave. So, I'm just going to be talking, like, about that real quick. Or not real quick, but I'm just going to be going through every single song that came out. I won't be like necessarily giving it a rating, just because I usually save that for the final music review, so I'm gonna save it for that. Okay, so first we had DWS's plot twist. This one came out around like end of January, and they are another group from HYBE, the subsidiary Playtest, and they debuted with like this fresh spring/summer concept. When I first saw the video, I kind of like cringe. I'm sorry. No offense, right? Because I just, this kind of concept is not what I'm personally into, but it's definitely not new for boy groups, but it's new considering like the atmosphere. The what? What is it called? That like thing where the trend right now for boy groups is like this synthy punk like guitar riffing or like EDM kind of style, but with DWS like they have this piano. Was there piano? I feel like there was piano. Maybe I'm getting confused with Blave now. Sorry. But it was just like this light and airy concept, and I really like that. So the song was alright. I think I'll like it's not on my playlist right now, but I do play it every once in a while because I do like the outro of the song where it goes like na 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 na, and I was like na 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 annyeong. It's like really cute. Personally, I think HYBE has a lot of influence, so I really want to see them debut kind of like a more like charismatic and like narcissistic kind of group, like kind of like that all like I'm walking like fearlessly kind of vibe. Yeah, kind of like what LeSserafim has right now, but just make like a boy group version of it. But yeah, speaking of LeSserafim, they also, they had their debut, they had their third mini album, I think, now with Easy. It's a third mini album. Fearless, Anti-Fragile, Unforgiven was an album. So yeah, third mini album, Easy. This was definitely like a new sound from them. I don't think we've heard anything like this from them since their debut. But I did not like it at first. It sounded very low energy. It didn't sound like they put effort into the song, which now looking back, I mean, like, that doesn't even make sense, Kevin. But after a few more listens, like, I really like it now. I think it's a good break from the typical sound that Seraphim has done, which is these really like loud or addictive bass EDM kind of thing. Like with Fearless, they had like that bump, 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 bump. And then as he just like the like reggae sound. And then with Unforgiven, like, I think Unforgiven was their more forgettable title track, but it was still like, it had like that country kind of guitar riff to it. And now with ET, it has this, I don't know, like, I've seen some comments saying it's like Afro beats kind of vibe, which is definitely new for me. I listen to some like American African hip hop music, but I didn't know like this was the term for it, Afro beats. Maybe that's like a big generalized term for it, but I'll have to do some more research into that later. So yeah, it was really cool to hear this new side of them. I also checked out like the rest of the mini album, and Smart was a good song too. It sounded like these songs have like reminiscence a lot with like Doja Cat for me. Like that was like the first initial impression that I got when I listened to like the entire album. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but you know, I like the music, so I like the music. The choreo for Easy is also quite fun. I'm trying to learn it right now. They have this move where it's like it goes over the chest and swings out and then over the chest. Like I really like these flow kind of movements, and then like a quick like pop out, you know. Yeah, so I'm gonna be geeking out and trying to learn the choreo for that, and hopefully there's like a workshop for that later for my school. Okay, well, I'm running out of breath. Okay, and then we had Blaves Wait For You. This actually came out this morning. It came out at around like 4 a.m. In Eastern Standard Time. And I didn't check it out because I had to go to sleep for school. But I listened to it on my way to school this morning, and it was interesting. It's kind of similar to like the Seraphim, where like immediately upon listening, I had this impression of the sound that they were going for. And this was like the first word for me, country. I just thought this was like a country beat or something. Like, I don't know what was going on. Yeah, so it was giving country. And it was like kind of magical country. I think I just invented that term. It's magical country. I didn't get to listen to the B-sides that much, but just from the title track alone, I might need to listen to it more, but right now it's sitting at like the bottom because they had the Sick Summer, that's my favorite one, and then we had Wait For You, that's my second favorite, and that was their debut song, and now this one is like sitting at the end. But I think as I listen to it more and more, I'll get into it. And also because when I was looking at it, I only got to see like the lyrics once or twice, so I don't know like the full story of the song yet, and I think that's really important, especially since they write their own music, so I need to like look at that later. Right now, yeah, so yeah, like I said, right now it's sending like the last for me. I mean, their B-sides that they had for like the other tracks are higher than this song right now, so hopefully it's a grower. But the music video was pretty. I still prefer like the 2D animation style with like just from the Sick Summer. So I'm not like a fan of like the CG ones, but you know, it's okay, whatever. And then finally, wow, we had Twice's One Spark. Burning. This was a really good song. The song was very beautiful, just like I Got You. I had this thought about Twice for a while now, and the direction of the songs that they've been going for is like, it's more westernized now. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it really feels like they kind of don't care too much about like the Korean audience anymore, and they just want to like reach out to international audiences as much as they can. And you know, I think that's fair given that they're now in their 8th year or 9th year even of their since debut. So I think like it's nice to see that they've matured their sound, and also like them as women, they like also matured, because I've seen like some interviews where they said like, oh, like some of the songs that they sung before, like it makes them cringe because it's like AKO, it's cute, but now it's like it still has like a bit of that cuteness that makes Twice, but it's elegant cuteness. I think I invented a new phrase again. Okay, let me ASMR that. Elegant cuteness. this is not my favorite song of them, obviously. Fancy and like Feel Special are like more of my favorite songs from them. But this is like, it's pretty solid. I'm sure this will be a great song to sing at their concert, and hopefully I get to go to their concert again if they come to Toronto again. And also, like, I don't know if I already mentioned this, but I liked I Got You more. But they're both on the same vibe of like a great car ride song, which I think a lot of people enjoy that. After mentioning all those songs, we're actually gonna get into the actual song review for this episode. I'm gonna be reviewing Who Sucks' solo debut comeback. What's it called? Empty Paper. Who Suck is actually the maknae of the group, and if you guys don't know, he actually has helped written a lot of songs from Pentagon, along with Hui and Kino and Yuto. Who else produces in the group? I think it's mainly Hui and Usook, actually. But yeah, Usook actually has some of my favorite tracks from Pentagon. Their last comeback from Pentagon was like, I think, Feeling Like... You Got Me Feeling Like... Yeah, what was the name? I Invite You. I think that was what it's called. And like, Usook pretty much produced like almost all the tracks or has some credits on there, and I really enjoyed his music. So when I saw that he was coming back, I was like looking at the K-pop Reddit looking for stuff to like talk about for this podcast, right? And I was like, oh, he came back, oh my god, I love him. Okay, so and he was actually like one of my favorites from Pentagon too. I think my bias was like Hwanseok, because he was like pretty and he was also pretty funny. I was like Yanan, but yeah, Usook was definitely on my bias record, or like top bias as well. So he debuted with a single Empty Paper. There was two songs on this single. There was Navy Blue, which was the promotional title track, so I don't have too much to say from there, but I'll give it my rating. So I normally have like skip, Let It Play, Head Bop, Earworm, and Runway Status. And like, Runway Status wouldn't be like necessarily appropriate for this song, because it's also the kind of song where you have to be in the right mood to listen to it. Because if I'm feeling like super happy and energetic, I'm not necessarily want to listen to this song. But if I'm feeling like just like a bit moody, or like even I listened to the song on the way to here to school today. It's like a great wake up song to get you started. And for that, like, I'll give it like a high earworm. It's like still playing in my head right now. I think I'm gonna really try to learn the lyrics for this and like sing to it. If you guys, I never done like a cover before, but if you guys want to hear that from me, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do an ASMR cover. So yeah, and that finally leads on to the last part, which is the spicy question. So the spicy question I have for this podcast is, how do I feel about K-pop idols writing their own music, and is it actually important for idols to have credits on their song? So I think that, you know, there's been kind of a trend going on nowadays where idols get praised just simply because, you know, their name is on the credits, and you know that's obviously like a great achievement for them, and like that's really a good thing to celebrate, because that means like, you know, they have like input on what goes into the song, and also it shows like their penmanship, also shows their like artistry and creativity that they probably wanted to express ever since debut. But also now I feel like it's becoming kind of like a toxic thing, but maybe that's just coming from me, because I'm chronically online, so I see what people are saying like on Twitter and TikTok and like Reddit all the time, and like sometimes like this is just like a fan thing, okay, this is not against the idols, where like the fans will like boast so hard about their wives being producers and like songwriters, but like it's like so what, you know, so what? Like I know that's rich coming from someone who stands G Idol, who like writes their entire music and everything, but you know, it's different when like you're writing songs for a beach side and then like you're writing songs for the title track. Like in this case, like I'm not sure if LaSeraphim had credits for Easy, but I know like they have songs and credits and other things, right? And especially with Yeonjun, I know like the stuff that she releases, she writes all entirely by herself. Like I think like that's impressive, okay? But like writing lyrics just like after you've been giving like the melodies and like the beat, like I feel like that's not necessarily something to be like, you have to be so cocky about to like boost your faves because of that. However, I do think it's important for idols to like get that experience with writing, especially if they enjoy the art and the artistry of that. But I think there shouldn't be any expectations for idols to write their own music, because like idol is just like a broad term for like singers and dancers who are also entertainers, right? Whereas like artists are actually like, you know, they write their own music, they write their own raps, they write the melodies, they write, they compose the song, you know? Like, it's okay for idols to not do all those things, right? But like, if you're considering yourself as an artist, if these idols are labeling themselves as artists, then like, I think that like should be the expectation, where they should be writing their own songs and they should be making their own music, and they should have like a lot of say in like the creative direction as well. So that's just my take on it. That's probably a really spicy take, but yeah, if just summarizing that, like, so pretty much idol, you could sing, dance, and entertain, good, okay, you're not expected to write. But if you're labeling, if they themselves are labeling themselves as artists, then that's when like they should be, the expectation should be, right, make your own music, you know? I don't know, maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. That's my opinion. Don't cancel me. And I think that's why like I stand Seattle so much, because, you know, not only do they write their own B-sides, but like Soyeon has such a big say in like creative direction, what the concept is gonna be, how the sound, how the song is gonna sound like, how the song is gonna be promoted. Like I think at that point, like she's like reaching beyond artistry, but like management, like Cube, what are you doing, Cube? So yeah, I think I'll end it there. Whispering is kinda, it's getting me kinda sweaty, and it's like really hot in this room, so I wanna end it now. So thank you guys for watching the podcast. Please, you know, check me out on my social media. Once again, it's @_ KevsD. And yeah, make sure you follow the podcast, and let me know what you want me to do for next week, because honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do for next week. Okay, save me. Okay.